Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick.
Well, good evening, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show with Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick. An hour later than we planned.
I hope you enjoyed the first hour of the show.
Well, it was great. Hey, that was a hell of a football game.
It was.
That was a hell of a football game between the Cowboys and the Giants. It goes to overtime. Literally used every second in overtime before Brandon Aubrey kicked the game winner, and he was making field goals from everywhere.
Which is the optimal amount of time to be spent in overtime.
Right. If you're going to go to overtime, at least get all your money's worth.
Exactly.
We were both hoping for a tie. It would have been really funny to see that football game end in a tie, but Brandon Aubrey wasn't having it. He's making field goals from 64 yards like it's nothing, and then however long the game winner was. So the Cowboys get the win there. You've only got us for an hour, so we're going to try to jam as much Falcons information as we can into the next hour before we lead you into the network pregame show and Sunday Night Football, where the Falcons take on the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, looking to get to 1-1. And you know, obviously, we sat at the stadium last Sunday, Joe, and talked about what it was going to take to beat the Bucs. You were spot on as far as kind of the defenses maybe being a little bit ahead and the game being a little bit more of a slog. And they gave themselves a great chance to send it to overtime. Younghoe Koo misses a field goal. That's been a part of the conversation throughout the week.
Yes, it has.
And here we sit now, really hoping this football team can win tonight. And knowing, because we've been here before, the difference between 1-1 and 0-2.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a confounding game, Andy, because some of the things that we talked about the Falcons needing to do in that game in order to win, they actually did. Like, they kept Bucky Irving in check. The defense was relatively good and kind of keeping Baker Mayfield off balance, although, you know, he was able to escape. Ultimately, they were able to do these things, and what they were not able to do was some of the things that maybe we took for granted, or we just kind of thought that this was their identity of being able to run the ball with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier behind this offensive line. But clearly, whether it was, you know, the loss of Caleb McGarry or having Ryan Neuzel now as the center, that was much more of a challenge for them than anyone expected, and they will have their work cut out for them against a really strong Vikings front in this game.
That's clearly the thing that has to be better tonight, right? If you're going to highlight one thing from week one to week two, and there's a number of things that we can get into over the hour that you'd like to see improved, and certainly some things that looked really good in week one as well. But you're right. I mean, that's the part of this team that coming into the year you thought you're going to be able to count on. And I'm not saying you can't, week one that they didn't have a great performance running the football. And it's something that the team's been really good at the last handful of years, whether it was with Arthur Smith and then now even with Zach Robinson last year as offensive coordinator. That's something that I would say it's been the identity of the offense. It certainly wasn't last Sunday.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why it's going to be so important to be able to get that going on the ground in this game is because, frankly, in my opinion, Brian Flores in tandem with what's going to be a very raucous atmosphere up in Minnesota, which is one of the loudest venues in all of the NFL. They're getting their home opener in prime time, coming off a win. You know that place is going to be loud as hell, and the communication is going to suffer because of that. You're not going to be able to make as many checks at the line and have that kind of intricate passing game maybe as you would hope or you want to generally have. And so you got to be able to move the ball in some just kind of grinded out type of situations and type of ways. And so it's going to be very important for them to get back on track. And I will say, having been up there at the facility this week, that is something that you hear these people, it felt like these players really talk about, which is, you know, it's almost like we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and like be physical at the point of attack and kind of find that identity in ourselves again.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, we talked to Dave Archer on Wednesdays. I heard him on with the morning shift and said the same thing, is they have to be better in the trenches, specifically on the offensive line. Maybe that group is one that looks at itself in the mirror collectively and says, we got pushed around last week by a lot of those guys on that Tampa defensive line. Let's try to prove that's not what we are. And maybe there's a little pride on the line tonight against Minnesota. And good. I mean, if that is an extra motivator and it leads to results tonight, that's great. I will say this, as much as Tampa has dudes on the defensive line, as does Minnesota. Yeah. Like, those guys have they've got some really talented players in Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave and others that are going to be up there trying to do the same thing to the Falcons run game as the Bucs did last week.
Yeah, so that's obviously going to be a challenge. But Andy, I also think on the other side of this coin is, again, we said the Falcons did some things really well that we would have thought that they would have needed to do to win that game. Ultimately, they didn't win it. But what we did see was Michael Penix show an ability to be able to put the game on his shoulders, literally carry the offense on his back in his fourth game, his fourth NFL start. He's doing this. I asked Raheem Morris about this, about just the 59, not the 18 play, 91-yard scoring drive that they needed to go ahead in that game. But then obviously when they give up that late touchdown, they have 59 seconds left in order to try to go down and hopefully kick a game-tying field goal. And I thought that was so impressive. When you did not have Drake London, who went out on the previous drive, you were already without Darnell Mooney in that game. And still, Michael Penix is able to utilize the weapons that he did have. Ray McLeod, Kyle Pitts, used his legs a little bit, put it all together, put together a really, really nice drive. I think it just shows so much about him. And Raheem Morris, it led Raheem Morris say, like, the guy's a dog. And he talked about the way that he looked on the sideline.
Husky.
He is a husky. Sorry. He is a husky for sure. But, you know, just like Raheem Morris talked about, like, the look that he had in his eye, you know, and it is kind of that thing that coaches love to see, it is also.
But if it's true, then it's true.
Exactly.
A lot of times the things that coaches say are because they're true, right? Cliches become cliches because people say them a lot because they're true. And you're right. Like, for him to do that in first game of the season, his fourth start. It's also the third straight game where Penix has done that because he made four starts last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, they kind of blew out the Giants in his first start. And then the Washington game, I mean, that was a great drive at the end of the game.
He did it in the end of the first half in that game, too.
That's right.
Let him down.
That's right.
Could have scored a touchdown.
And then, obviously, the last game of the season against Carolina, same thing. Mm-hmm. And then they let him, you know, they lose. And then again, week one, he's not worried about the crunch time. He's not worried about the final minutes of the game. He's ready for that.
To go back to that Commanders game, let's remember, he did it at the end of that first half. He drove them down. They didn't take their timeouts. There was a lot of time management criticisms of Raheem Morris in that game. In the first half, they didn't take timeouts. They end up kicking a field goal at the end of that drive, but they got down into the red zone. And then in the second half, he drives him down twice. Not only do they convert on that kind of now famous fourth down pass to Kyle Pitts in the end zone, but then they get the ball back actually from the Commanders after that, drives them back down into field goal range where Riley Patterson came up short on a 56-yard kick. That kick, if that kick goes in, that like the there was a parallel universe that split in that moment when that ball was at its apex, where we all thought that thing was going through.
It was online.
And if it goes through, then if the Falcons beat the Panthers,
they go to the
next week, they go to the playoffs. They get the wild card spot.
And who knows what they do in that game. At the very least, they're in that game. And yes, definitely. Like, there's a lot of better feelings going into the offseason. And who knows? Jobs may be saved in some cases.
For sure. But it just goes to show, like, the maturity that Michael Penix has. And listen, like you talked about him being a husky, he has so much college experience.
Played a lot of football.
And we're seeing a lot of these quarterbacks who don't have that college experience really struggling when they get to this level. So I think it was something that a lot of people looked at as a criticism of him in the draft, that he was, look how old he is. But actually, in some ways, it's a benefit for the Falcons that he's able to come in and perform this way and be the leader he is and be able to take charge of this offense. And I think that week one, last week, we just saw that.
I do like that narrative seems to have shifted a little bit, where if you were in college for longer, it was sort of looked at as, he played all these games and why didn't he come out earlier? And oh, he's this age. Now teams almost look at it like, great, he's going to be more ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like certainly physically, instead of being 20 or 21, he's 24, played, 50 games in college and at a high level and all that stuff. I think, the similar conversation could be had about JJ McCarthy. I know he wasn't in college as long, but he played in some big games for sure.
Yep.
They played against each other in the national championship game a couple of years ago. I'm sure that'll be mentioned on the broadcast tonight. And that to me, and we'll get to, again, an abbreviated version of the Wade Ford tailgate show today. So we're going to do an injury report in about 20 minutes from right now. We're going to do keys to a game in about half an hour from now. So we're going to get all of it in here in the first hour. And we will get you caught up on some of the other games that have happened today as well, including that Cowboys game that ended right before we came on. But that, that's one of the big parts of tonight is two young quarterbacks leading their teams, first round draft picks, all of that. You've got to have the young quarterback that looks better and more ready for this stage than the other.
And again, it's going to be a test because of Brian Flores. Brian Flores is going to present looks that Michael Penix has never seen before. If anybody's unfamiliar with Brian Flores, he comes from the Bill Belichick school, but he's got his own twist on defense where he will run cover zero, which is basically no safety help over the top, full on blitzes. He runs cover zero more than any defensive coordinator in the league. And he also runs like 8-man coverages and only rushing 3 more than any defensive coordinator in the league. He's really all or nothing in that sense when it comes like on an individual play, what he's going to do. And that makes for a really tough look. And sometimes what he loves to do is crowd the line of scrimmage, make it look like he's coming with everything, and then just drop everybody off. And that can leave the quarterback's mind frazzled and you easily throw an interception because you're just not prepared for that situation. And again, in that environment, it makes for what can be a toxic situation for a young quarterback, and it'll be very interesting to see how Penix deals with it.
It's actually pretty fun to watch when it's not happening to your team. And look, Penix could navigate it tonight, and it could be fun to watch on the flip side. But yeah, just pay attention to that a little bit tonight. Just all the pre-snap stuff that all the Vikings defenders do. He loves to try to fool you. He loves to try to disguise stuff. And that's definitely a part of it tonight as well. Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Bear and Burton's W Sauce. We can't control the score, but you can still bring home the W. W Sauce is your ticket to next level flavors on game day. Pick up a bottle today and bring home the W. Let's talk about what they have done at kicker. Kind of a unique situation. An unfortunate situation to have to bring in competition and then ultimately go with the competition. But Parker Romo will be the kicker tonight. Youngway Koo's still on the team. What is happening?
Parker Romo will be kicking tonight. Parker Romo, as long as he kicks well, I believe will keep kicking for this Falcons team the following week and the following week and the following until he, well, really, if he's just a normal kicker success rate-wise, he's going to be this team's kicker going forward this season. I would expect Youngway Koo to eventually be released. I know a lot of people are confused as to why that hasn't happened. People have said, well, you got to look at his track record. He doesn't deserve to be on the team, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, the Falcons coaching staff would agree that he does not deserve to be the team's kicker based on that track record, which is why they've signed Parker Romo. The reason why they have not cut him is generally just because of some NFL roster rules and the way that you manage rosters, where Youngway Koo's salary for the rest of the season is basically guaranteed at this point. Not basically, it is guaranteed. And so there's no need to add Parker Romo, another kicker, to the 53-man roster until you've exhausted all of the practice squad elevations that he's allowed to have, which is 4. They could even potentially just decide to sign him after 3 in case they're worried he gets plucked, because as long as he's on the practice squad, he can get signed by another team. If another team has a kicker that goes out, the Falcons will probably say, oh yeah, let's actually sign him so he can't get nabbed. But he's going to be this team's kicker. And unfortunately, you hate to say it for Youngway Koo, but it just doesn't look like he has a long future here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I would assume that if Parker Romo does a good job today, that's what they'll do.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do the elevate him 4 times if you want, but like you said, you run the risk of somebody coming onto your practice squad and swooping him. If he does a good job tonight, then you just move on. Yeah. And Koo's not the kicker anymore, and he is, and we don't have to worry about it, hopefully. And that, honestly, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah,
obviously, nobody wanted Younghoe Koo to be replaced after week one. If Younghoe Koo was going to be replaced, it would have been nice to have him replaced in the preseason with the competition. And obviously that didn't happen, and now here we are.
That would have saved the Falcons a little bit of money. I haven't looked it up. I think maybe saved them like a couple $1 million in dead cap. Okay. But yeah.
Well, it might have helped them win the first game, too.
That also would have potentially happened.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The dead cap,
yeah,
that would have been awesome.
That, about that.
But then, you know, who knows? Maybe the guy would have made the kick and they would have won in overtime, possibly. You never
there
know.
There was also that.
Yeah. Here's my hope. My sincere hope is that we don't have to talk about kickers tomorrow.
I would love that.
And if it is, it's like, oh, great kick.
Yeah, right. Whoa, what a great kicker
this time. He did a good job. He made one, and then they won. But it would be cool. I mean, the game doesn't have to come down. We know that it probably will, because games all come down to one score.
And Romo kicked for the Vikings last year, so he's got experience in this building.
He knows the turf.
He does know the turf.
As opposed to Younghoe Koo, who was talking about not really knowing the turf last week. Anyway, enough shade. He's not the kicker. Parker Romo is, so hopefully he does his job tonight. We'll take a break. On the other side, Joe will get you updated on the injuries. We'll also talk about some of the other games that have happened around the National Football League today. A really good one that happened right before we came on the air. As we continue to get you ready for the Falcons and the Vikings on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show here with you, leading you into the Falcons Radio Network pregame coverage ahead of the Falcons and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Get you caught up on some of the other action around the NFL in just a couple of minutes. Some big numbers put up today. Not all of them were in overtime games. Some real butt kickings handed out today in the National Football League. We'll get to that in a minute, but first, Joe's going to tell us about injuries.
I am, and this injury report is brought to you by Baron Burton's Fireshire. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit thewsauce.com. First, let's talk about the Falcons, and actually a couple players that are going to play. Notably, Darnell Mooney, expected to make his season debut. Mm-hmm. He's activated for tonight, as well as Drake London, which is pretty surprising considering he left last week's game with a shoulder injury. It seemed like it was a lot bigger of a deal, but Raheem Morris did come out midweek and say that he expected him to play, and basically everything has flowed smoothly since then.
Which one of those two guys do you think will be closest to normal?
I would actually say Mooney,
okay,
because Mooney has not been playing, like he's not banged up really at all, outside of that, obviously, the shoulder injury that he's recovering from. The guy is otherwise extremely fresh and hasn't, not even just the first game, but just the general bumps and bruises that you take throughout training camp. I don't think that he would have really taken a lot of that kind of those kinds of hits in the general season practices, which is basically when he's rejoined the team. And I will say, I've seen him out there running around, and he looks quick, looks fast, looks like he's ready to go. And so that will be great. And I think that Michael Penix can make great use out of a receiver like Darnell Mooney, especially because I'm not seeing the name here. As Casey Washington is going to be out with a concussion. That, by the way, is unfortunate for him. Another concussion. He dealt with a concussion last year when you start to see the recurring concussions.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. They happen the same way too, right? Like it was him diving for a pass,
yeah, yep.
and hitting his head,
hitting
his helmet on the ground mm-hmm. in the process. Same thing happened last year.
Yeah, I wonder.
That's tough.
And that, you know,
that's bad luck.
Darnell Mooney was hurt his shoulder, yep. like laying out for a pass. Different circumstances because that was happening without pads. This one obviously happened in a game situation, but yeah, really tough. And hopefully he's going to be okay. Did see him in the locker room this week, and he had a smile on his face, and he seemed happy like he normally is. So that's good to see. They'll also be without Jamal Agnew.
Yeah.
He's listed as a receiver, but he's obviously just this team's punt and kick returner. A very good one. He's going to be out tonight for the Falcons, as well as Jordan Fuller, the safety. And that's in addition to Jack Nelson and Caleb McGarry, who we knew about, who are out on IR.
Let me ask you this really quickly. Mm-hmm. With Agnew out, who fills in that role?
Should be Dee Alford, okay. returning punts, and also on kickoff return, and then Natron Brooks as the other kickoff okay. returner. Teams are going with two kickoff returners now, so those are the two we expect to see. And it would be interesting to see if Dee Alford is also playing nickel, because Billy Bowman is questionable for this game, as is DeMarco Helms, although I am kind of anticipating both those players are going to be ready to go, for the reason being that the Falcons, to my knowledge, have not elevated any other safeties off of their practice squad. Mm-hmm. If they're already down Jordan Fuller, you would think that with Billy Bowman and DeMarco Helms also questionable, they would elevate somebody else. I have not seen one since then, so I'm kind of anticipating those players to play. James Pierce also listed.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about him, because I had heard that he was on the injury report as well, but sounds like he'll go.
Yeah, I saw him in practice this week, and he was doing his normal warm-up routines, okay, at least. You know, he's like pulling these like resistance cords, like doing those kinds of sprints and everything. So seemed fine to me. Or maybe, I don't know, fine, but like seemed good enough to play. I'm sure he's going to want to play.
Okay, good.
I would say even if he were not to play, I feel like the Falcons can like get by. That's a very deep edge room they have at this point in time.
Yeah, definitely. But we want to see him.
That's for sure.
We want to see that first-round draft pick out there.
For the Vikings, they have some serious injury concerns going into this game. And it's kind of funny. The Falcons are now going to miss two of the best offensive tackles in back-to-back weeks. After missing Tristan Wirfs last week, the Vikings are going to be missing Christian Darrisaw this week. That's going to be a big loss for them. Also, they're going to be missing Jeff Okuda, who's out for this game, former Falcon at cornerback. And then another big one for the Vikings, Andrew Van Ginkel.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. Out with a concussion. He's a guy who can change games because of how good he is at kind of lurking and picking off passes, especially short passes. Reported today is that Harrison Smith, the safety, is also going to miss for the Vikings today.
Sick.
He's been battling an illness.
Interesting.
Sick. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm sorry. That was an unintended joke.
Sick.
Pun unintended, but it worked. Yeah, that was weird because I remember last week me and Randy were talking about how, he's sick, he missed the game.
Yeah.
He must be really sick to miss a game.
Yeah, yeah.
To miss two games?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder what it is.
That's what's been reported today, that he's expected not to play. We'll see word here coming down in about an hour or so. But that would be big, to miss Okuda and Harrison Smith, and that secondary is big for them. And then Austin Keys, a linebacker, is questionable.
All right. Those are the injuries. We'll get to some keys to a Falcons victory coming up in about 15 minutes. We're also going to predict the final score as well, like we always do at the end of the show, because again, the game that came on before us went into overtime and took forever.
Great game.
So it was an awesome game. It was a really good game. Actually, the game did a great job, because I'll be honest with you, Joe.
Far more entertaining than us.
And dear listener, I am a tired man. I am a very tired man
Andy's
today.
Andy's pushing through it right now.
People listen to the midday show may have heard me tell the story, but we went and saw our favorite band play in Savannah last night, and then just behaved like fools. Behaved like we thought we were 25 years old again, and we are not. And so went to bed very late, got up very early so we could get home and see Lily perform in the church choir. It was her first church choir performance. She did great. She loved it. She was awesome, and we were there to see it. So we were back, but running on not a lot of sleep.
You're doing awesome.
Thank
Randy.
You. Appreciate it. Going to do my best to make it through the Falcons game tonight and not have to watch
with that.
Yeah, not have to watch the rest of it tomorrow morning when I get up. But anyway, no one cares about that, really. Let's tell folks about what else went on in the NFL or is going on in the NFL today. Around the NFL brought to you by Hatfield. Better pork. Head to simplyhatfield.com. Couple games going on right now. The Broncos lead the Colts 21-13 right before halftime. Cardinals 13-3 over the Panthers 16 seconds before halftime.
The Panthers offense just cannot get going after they were so excited after the way that last year ended.
I know. Bryce Young with an interception in the first half, and off to a only six quarters, but off to a pretty rough start, given some optimism at the end of the year last year. Mm-hmm. I do think a lot of that optimism was just in comparison to what he looked like before.
Sure. Yeah.
But you thought maybe he could build on
some
that.
Some hopium, I think, was.
Doesn't look like it at
in,
this
in
point.
In Carolina?
Yeah, probably.
Some shootouts in the 1 o'clock games.
And then the Super Bowl rematch, the Chiefs are leading the Eagles 10-7.
That little game?
Yeah. Whatever. Just, you know, no one cares about those teams. But yeah, 2 minutes before halftime in that one, the Chiefs lead the Eagles 10-7.
Chiefs trying to avoid going 0-2, by the way, the mark of death for NFL teams.
Which is why, you know, exactly. And that's something we'll talk about with the Falcons coming up in about 10 minutes. This is unfortunately a situation that we've found ourselves in frequently talking about this team. And then you do all the stats of how hard it is to make the playoffs starting 0-2 and all of those sorts of things. So don't do that. Don't start 0-2. Win the game today.
Yeah.
But that's why going into that one, I was like, Chiefs aren't going to start 0-2. Patrick Mahomes doesn't start 0-2. I know the Eagles are very good. The Eagles were even favored in Kansas City in that game, which never happens.
Wow.
It was only a point and a half, but that never happens. All right, let's get to some of the games that have finished. Obviously, the Cowboys-Giants game was on this radio station before we came on. It went to overtime, 40-37. Russell Wilson played incredible.
Insane.
Until the very throw, where he just heaved one down the field. It got intercepted, and it led to the Cowboys kicking a field goal to win the game. Before that, though, he passed for 450 yards and three touchdowns. That's his highest total yardage total in a game in his career.
Yeah, it's his career high. Having said that, I was going to say, if he was 5 years younger, I think the Giants win this one in regulation. it felt like there were some opportunities for him to scramble, and he was not the same Russell Wilson that we are used to, but still a highly, highly entertaining game.
It was a fun game. Brandon Aubrey can kick field goals from anywhere.
Unbelievable.
He made a 64-yarder to send it to overtime, and it would have been good from 75. Like, it's truly insane what he's doing. The Bengals beat the Jaguars 31-27. That's significant for a number of reasons. The Bengals off to a 2-0 start. Obviously, that was a big focus for them coming into this year, having started slow for a number of years in a row. But the bigger story is that Joe Burrow had to leave the game in the second quarter with an injured toe.
Yeah.
Did not come back into the game. Jake Browning was able to get it together and win the game for the Bengals, albeit with three interceptions. But the Bengals go to 2-0 with that win.
I know a toe is a small body part, and that makes you think it's a small injury, but toes can often be devastating and excruciatingly long injuries, especially to recover from, because they're so important.
Obviously, I don't know. Maybe it's out there now because the game's been over for an hour and a half or so. I don't know exactly what the injury was or what the extent of it is, but he did come out of the game and didn't come back in. I think the Lions are going to be okay. I know they hiccuped in week one. I think a lot of teams might hiccup against the Packers defense. Today they went out there and they scored 52 points against the Bears. The Lions beat the Bears 52-21. And obviously there was some worry in Detroit given the way they lost the first game and they lost their coordinators. And that offensive coordinator, is now the head coach in Chicago. I think they're all right.
I think they're okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay.
I think they're okay. What I wonder is if this makes you feel any different about the Vikings. After the Vikings were getting a lot of credit for coming back to beat the Bears in that week one game. Granted, the Vikings were on the road, but it was a close game.
I see where you're going with that.
And the Lions smoke the Bears today.
So maybe the Bears aren't good.
Or maybe
and
the
also the Vikings
are not,
aren't
maybe good.
Good.
I don't know. Who knows? I guess we're gonna find out tonight.
We'll find out in a number of hours, and I hope that that's true. The Rams beat the Titans 33-19. Matthew Stafford continues to be fantastic. They're 2-0 early in the season.
An audacious touchdown pass by Cam Ward in this game, which you would say is inadvisable, but hey, it worked out for him.
He's got a great arm, man.
He does. It's amazing. We saw it in training camp.
So calm, so poised for a young quarterback. Patriots beat the Dolphins 33-27. I didn't see anything about that game, so I don't have anything to say about it. 49ers beat the Saints 26-21. That is of significance because Mac Jones started at quarterback for the 49ers. They're 2-0 with a million injuries, so good for them for getting off to a good start. The Bills beat the Jets 30-10. They're on a mission, man. I mean, Josh Allen's so good.
He, I think, maybe potentially broke his nose. He had some sort of nose injury at some point during the game. Gets it gauzed up, comes back in. He's a hockey player. I don't know. He's not actually a hockey player. Probably. It's a John Butchagross thing. But anyways.
He went to college in Wyoming. There's some sort of hockey or cowboy in there. James Cook also had an insane touchdown run.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
Find that
the
highlight.
Jump cuts.
It's crazy.
On that guy.
It was like he was slalom skiing through defenders for 50 yards and goes into the end zone. Seahawks beat the Steelers 31-17. Steelers offense did not look good in that game. Now, credit to the Seahawks defense. They played very well. But to go into Pittsburgh and sort of rain on that parade after they won week one and Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns. Seahawks beat them by two touchdowns today.
Yeah, and kind of funny, we were just talking about the Jets, like the Steelers and Jets played that great game last week where they both scored a bunch of points. Both those offenses lay stinkers here today.
Mm-hmm. And then the Ravens just did to the Browns what the Ravens were always going to do to the Browns.
Say, what everybody expected to happen.
They beat them 41-17. Lamar Jackson threw for four touchdowns. Quinshon Judkins did play for the Browns today, so there's some good news for them. Didn't make a huge difference. And just to add insult to injury, that was the Ravens celebrating 30 years in Baltimore. Obviously, you know where they came from, so they had to celebrate against them, and then they beat them by a million.
You know, I was thinking while watching this beatdown occur, you know, I'm curious what the quarterback plan is there in Cleveland. Because you had to know, like, these coaches have to have been thinking, and the management team, the GM, et cetera, had to have been thinking about what we're going to do during the course of the season with Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and then, of course, Shedeur Sanders, how all of that's going to work out over the course of the season where we're probably going to lose a bunch of football games.
Yeah, I think eventually they'll all play. I mean, Joe Flacco obviously started today. Dylan Gabriel did play at the end. He went 3-for-3 and had 19 yards passing and a touchdown. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some starts. I wouldn't be surprised if eventually Shedeur gets some starts. I don't really think it matters. And that's not really about those guys. It's more about the group. And also just the schedule that they're playing.
Right.
Like, the Browns are already not good, but they started the season against the Bengals and the Ravens. They're 0-2. Then they get the Packers, who look like the best team going right now. And then they get the Lions, who figured it out today. And then they get the Vikings, and they get the Steelers. So, good luck, man. Fun start to the year. You're already not very good, and that's what your schedule is. All right. Stay tuned. Be sure to stay tuned later today for the Ticketmaster Halftime Show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. So, believe it or not, we got one segment left. So we're going to grab another break. We're going to come back and get to our keys to a Falcons victory today. At the end of the segment, we'll also sort of give like a synopsis of what you think the game's going to look like and what the final score may be as well.
I feel like we're in a hurry-up offense here on this show.
I know. It is going very quickly. I'll be honest with you. I don't hate it.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't either. I feel like I'm locked in.
Pretty
the zone,
good.
You know?
No fluff. It's just only the
no
good
substitutions.
Stuff. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back with the final segment of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game.
You ready for today's game?
With the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Now, here's Eddie and Joe. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, final segment for us here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Tailgate Show brought to you by Bear and Burton's Everyday Hot Sauce, your secret weapon off the bench. It's flavor that keeps your taste buds coming back for more. The ultimate playmaker for your game day cravings. Pick up a bottle today at thewsauce.com. Keys to the game, final score predictions. Again, sort of an abbreviated Wade Ford Tailgate Show tonight with the Cowboys Giants game going into overtime and taking every moment of overtime.
Every second.
Every second of that game. It was a 70-minute game played between those two teams, and 77 points were scored.
Yeah.
So obviously it was a very long game, fun game to watch, but left us only an hour. So jamming all the info we can into the three segments that we got, and now that leads us to the keys to a Falcons victory this evening in Minnesota.
And my first key is going to just generally be winning the turnover battle, but I think it's important on both sides of the equation. First of all, when the Falcons have the ball on offense, Brian Flores' scheme is designed to create turnovers. It's designed to get to the quarterback quickly in some blitzing situations or catch them off guard and throwing into coverages. It's going to be imperative that Michael Penix is, you know, has his P's and Q's sorted, knows what he's doing in that very loud environment where communication is going to be limited and not turn the ball over. And on the flip side of it, when we talked to Raheem Morris this week, he said that the Falcons coaching staff charted 5 missed interceptions against Baker Mayfield last week. You got to take advantage of some of those against J.J. McCarthy, where I think you could have more than that.
I agree with that. It was funny as the week went, and maybe it's because they were able to chart it more, but it was funny as the week went, the number grew.
Right,
like Sunday after the game, it was like, man, we dropped a couple interceptions. Then Monday was like, we dropped 3 interceptions. And then Wednesday was, we dropped 5 interceptions. Every pass he threw, we should have intercepted. Now, but it's true, though. Like, there were obviously, there were throws that Baker made that could have resulted in turnovers, and none of them did, unfortunately.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy, and a lot of people watched that game last week because it was a primetime game that they played against Chicago. In the first 3 quarters of that game, he only threw 1. It was a pick 6. I mean, it was very bad. There was so many throws that were just like, this guy looks lost.
Yeah, and listen, like, maybe it's the Ohio State fan in me, but I feel like even his college experience with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, when you had a Blake Corum, like a run-dominated offense, it's not like they were running a lot of like high-level passing concepts.
Yeah, they were also cheating, and they knew what the other team's signs were.
That is true. So, that is a great point. Yeah. And and then they get to choose
the suspensions. I think that they should strip their national championship and give it to the other team they played. I don't remember who they played.
You're here.
But you know what
you're
I mean?
You're here. 100%. I'm with you.
I knew I'd have an ally on that one. Yeah, no, he's a very interesting young quarterback because of the way he was used in college. You just didn't get to see the arm much at all. And especially when they would get in close games, they would just totally shut it down, use his legs, and hand the ball off. That's something.
That could be another key.
That's a key. Let's do that.
Should I write that down?
Yeah. That's a key. His legs, definitely, without question.
And we saw, that was a problem for the Falcons last week.
We saw Penix last week at the end of the game use his legs, obviously to great benefit. He picks up that first down, which keeps that final drive, or second to final drive, alive, and then gets in the end zone as well, which gave them the lead late. I will be interested to see. I asked Randy about this, I think Friday or Thursday, if they would maybe try to sneak a design run in there for Penix, just once or twice, and just to kind of give the defense something else to think about, try to keep that Brian Flores aggressive blitzing defense on their heels maybe just a little bit with something else to have to consider.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe he just uses it like he did at the end of the game, and if he needs to try to pick up a yard or two if the play breaks down. But that is something that Penix can do.
Yeah.
It's something that we definitely know that the Vikings are going to do with McCarthy.
With 100%. And the Falcons last week against Baker Mayfield let him too many times slip out of that pocket and pick up key first downs with his legs. That's what J.J. McCarthy is going to be looking to do in this game. They've got to be able to avoid that.
Yeah, my first key is related to those two guys, those quarterbacks. They're both young. I mean, McCarthy's making his second start. Penix is making his fifth. Right? Mm-hmm. So, but this is also the least combined starts the two quarterbacks on Sunday Night Football have ever had.
Huh. Great stat.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
that's 7, right? Yeah. Or coming into the game, it's 5, right? So, yeah, 5 combined starts coming into the game is the least ever between two quarterbacks on Sunday Night Football, which also makes sense
because
Sunday Night Football tends to be pretty high-profile matchups, and that tends to mean that you have an experienced quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both really young. One of them is allowed to look young, and one of them is not. And Michael Penix is the one that is not allowed to look young.
That is right.
And last week he didn't. He looked really sharp. I would venture to say that he probably had the best game of anyone on the team. I mean, Divine Diablo had a really nice game.
Yeah.
And he missed some throws. I'm not saying he was perfect, but the Penix played a really nice game in week 1.
I mean, it's hilarious too, because the NFL nominated J.J. McCarthy as their NFC Offensive Player of the Week, where I think if you were to ask any true football guy which quarterback had the better week last week, they would have said Michael Penix being able to drive the team down the field.
And McCarthy won it, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He won NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
He should have been Defensive Player of the Week.
I'm sorry. Offensive Player of the Week.
He threw as many touchdowns to the other team as he did. No, I guess he threw. Well, he ran for one, threw one, and threw a pick six.
Yeah.
So, okay. I guess one quarter?
And 143 yards passing. And yeah.
Come on, NFL.
Great comeback.
Come on, NFL. Anyway, there's going to be moments from both of them tonight where they look young because they are.
Yeah.
But if the Falcons defense can do to J.J. McCarthy for the majority of the game what Chicago did to him for the first three quarters,
right.
The Falcons are going to win this game. And honestly, if they make him look like that, they might win this game convincingly. That would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect that. I expect it to be a nail biter. We're all going to be up till midnight nervously watching this football game, and hopefully the Falcons will prevail in the end. But if you can make J.J. McCarthy make mistakes, and he will make mistakes, capitalize on them, like you said,
Catch
the interceptions, get him on the ground in the backfield, use some of the inexperience and some of the – I mean, he just looked frantic at times in week one. Use some of that against him. It'll go a long way for the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, the offense – you can't expect the offense to just – produce, like, you know, to go swimmingly against this Brian Flores defense, and in that environment, it's going to be tough.
One more stat.
Go ahead.
Related to the young quarterbacks in Brian Flores' defense. He's only been the DC in Minnesota, I think, for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right.
Maybe three. Anyway.
I think he's been there since Kevin O'Connell's been there.
Okay, so in his tenure with Minnesota, they're undefeated against quarterbacks who have started less than two seasons.
Ah.
So they have not lost to a young quarterback. And that goes back to Belichick. Belichick used to emasculate young quarterbacks when he was with New England. They would never lose. So it'll be a first if Penix can beat this.
So don't be a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Be an old quarterback.
Exactly. Be the older looking young quarterback. And he is older. You know, he's 25 years old.
That's right. My second key is the Falcons have to be in better in those short yarded situations. We saw it against the Bucs last week. They just couldn't move the line of scrimmage as much as they needed to in some of those key third and one, fourth and one, fourth and inches types of situations. They got to be better than that. And I kind of refine this also to those red zone situations. Now, give the Falcons credit, and Michael Penix in particular, he was able to get that ball across the line, literally was doing it by like an inch, fractions of a foot, like the slightest margins.
The ability to somehow body control
unbelievable
your knees and elbows and forearms to not touch the ground.
He was able to posture up
with his hand
and keep his knees off the ground. Yeah, that was insane. But I would prefer not to have to resort to that kind of thing and just be able to push that pile across the line that you need to get and pick those up a little bit easier. And if you can do that, then you're going to maintain more time of possession, potentially score more points. Everything's going to go better for you if you can convert in those situations. And I would like to see them get under center for some of those situations where they stayed in pistol and shotgun all week last week. We'll see if that happens. They still call it a pistol offense. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Well, let's not get crazy, Joe.
Okay? Can't ask for too much.
Yeah, we can ask for turnovers. We could ask for the offensive line to play better. Man's not getting under center, especially not in short yard situations, because they were even asked about it last week, and they're like, yeah, no, we like it, and here's why.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. Yep. I mean, if that's – it confounds all of us.
They got under center one time in that game last week.
Did they really?
Yeah, in those short situations, and then on a toss to Bijan to the left, and he lost 3 yards.
So they got under center only to actively throw the ball backwards away from the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they did learn on the fly last week, though, that – from the pistol, running it directly at Vita Vea with Bijan wasn't a great plan.
Right.
They did it with Algier the next time, and he picked it up. So, I don't know. Look, they're going to be in the pistol. They're not shying away from that. Like, last year in week one, when they ran all that stuff with Kirk and it just didn't work and it looked super clunky, they kind of went away from it a little bit. They still ran more of that formation than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly last week they ran more pistol in week one than the next team, and it was by double.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be in that formation a lot. They want to. I mean, Penix is comfortable in it, played a lot at Washington in that. So, I mean, that's going to be
important
for
their motions and their pass protection. Yeah. Importantly, they like to get Bijan Robinson when they double mug, when the defense kind of, you know, brings that double mug look, which Brian Flores is definitely going to do. They like to put Bijan, they shift him right up behind the guard so that he can pick up those interior interior blitzes.
My second key was offensive line related as well. And as it relates to the run game, I mean, you're not going to win very many games. Anybody's not going to, but especially this team where we think the identity of this offense starts with Bijan and Algier and that run game. And combined, I mean, they had about 45 yards last week. You're not going to win games like that.
Yeah.
And it's on them, but it's also on the offensive line getting a better push and run blocking. So it was something that was talked about a lot on our show and all the shows throughout the week was the offensive line got pushed around pretty good last week. They need to get their mojo back today.
The longest carry for a Falcons running back in last week's game, do you know what it was?
No, but it was
6 yards.
Oh, wow. Okay.
6 yards, the longest carry. Okay. I mean, with Bijan Robinson, a very explosive player, as we saw in the third play of the game where he catches a pass and goes 50 yards.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, too, is like some of the passes that Bijan caught were essentially run plays.
Right.
Like,
right.
Whether they're quick passes or dump offs, whatever. Like he got it in the backfield and then went 50 yards and scored a touchdown. But you have to be able to run the ball in a traditional way. Also, you have to hand the ball to the running back and be able to get it. But yeah, that a little bit of a focus on the offensive line. Those guys have to be better.
No doubt. Last key for me is the non-kicking special teams. The team was just not really good in those situations, whether it comes to punt coverage,
yep,
all those types of things. Return game, when you don't have Jamal Agnew, he's going to be out tonight. Dee Alford will replace him, I expect, on punt returns and kickoff returns. Got to be better in those situations.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Montlick Injury Attorneys. Injured? Question mark. Pick the right attorney. Choose Montlick. Call pound win. My final key was also special teams related, but it
the
was
kicking
about the kicker. Don't make us talk about kickers tomorrow, please. Final score prediction, because we gotta get out of here. We got to clear the way for the Falcons Radio Network.
23-16 Falcons.
Ooh, I like it. I think they're going to score tonight. I think it's going to be 27-21 Falcons. Let's hope we're right. Either way, I'll take either one of those. Either one of those will be just fine.
Take it.
Got to get to 1-1. Can't be 0-2. We know what the numbers say when you start your season like that. That'll do it for us on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Coming up next, the Falcons Radio Network and the Falcons and Vikings.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.